7 Kinder, 3 Väter und unendlich viel zu erzählen. Willkommen im Working Dad Podcast mit Benny, Marius und Roman. Hier geht es um die Dinge, die unsere 3 Väter gerade beschäftigen. Thematisch irgendwo zwischen Familie und Job, Kinder und Karriere. Eindeutig aber, familienerprobt. Viel Spaß mit einer neuen Folge Working Dad Podcast.
So, welcome to our new Working Dad Podcast episode. This time it's going to be in English. It's actually the first time. And what is also different is that we have a really special guest. I'm so much honored to sit today with John in front of me, John Strolecki. I think you, at least in Germany, well, not at least in Germany, all over the world, you know him because of his famous books, Kaffee am Rande der Welt and Big Five for Life. And I met John a couple of years ago. A friend of mine, Lotta, and I, we took a photo, and that was at the Absolventen Congress in Cologne. And when we took the photo, I kind of had this feeling in my stomach and my heart that we would meet again. So, John, it's really such an honor for our community and especially for me to sit again with you now in your tour bus. And how are you, John?
Thank you. Well, it's an honor for me to be here with you. And yeah, glad you followed your instincts on that one. It worked out great. I'm doing good. We are here in the tour bus. I'm on tour for the fourth book in the Cafe series, which just came out, Überraschung im Café am Rande der Welt.
Yeah.
And so this is our eighth city. Got 4 more cities that we'll be visiting on the tour. Yeah. And yeah, it's been amazing so far. The fans have been so, so spectacular.
Cool. That's so nice. Yeah. This tour is about hope, help, and heart. Mm-hmm. Needless to say that in this world today, we need to take care about our heart and help and all the time never forget about hoping, right?
Yeah, it's funny how much in life begins with the hope. If you lose hope, it's a downward spiral. But if you can have that belief that things are going to get better. And if you have the indications on where they're going to get better, yeah, that's what propels you forward. So that's what's interesting about this story, because Hannah, who we met in the third book of the Cafe series very briefly, this book is all about her and her story. And at 15, she's about to lose hope because of the challenging situation she's in. But then, of course, that's why she finds the cafe when she does.
Yeah. It's so amazing. And, I need to say, well, I read all the Kaffee am Rande der Welt books and Big Five for Life. Especially I was so amazed and inspired by the museum that you're talking about.
Thank you.
But let us jump into maybe another topic that is, I would say, kind of passion for both of us, being a dad.
And, yeah, totally. I love the theme of the podcast.
Marius, Roman, and I, we're doing this Working Dad podcast together, and it's really a passion for us because we want and we're aiming of uniting both worlds, the career, professional career world, and on the one hand, and on the other hand, like our private world, our family world. What does it mean for you to be a good dad?
Oh man, being a dad it's the best thing that I've ever done. I'm not saying it's for everyone, because I know that everybody has their own life story. I didn't actually have the calling. Like, I didn't have that paternal instinct. I didn't see other people's kids and be like, oh, I want to have a kid someday. And then literally the day my daughter was born, I was like, holy cow. Like, they have their own energy. They arrive with their own story, was the sense that I got. But I have loved every second of being daddy. Like, that has been the best thing ever in my life, without a doubt.
And why is that?
I mean, this is going to sound very silly, but one of the best things about being a dad to me is that you get to be a complete goofball. You know, when you have little kids, you're doing doggy races, you're throwing them up on your shoulders, you're chucking them up in the air and catching them, you get to run around the yard and they chase you. I don't know, you get to be like a child again, and you get to not only act like a child, which is super fun in its own right, but you get to make a child laugh. And there is nothing better. There is no sound more spectacular in the world than hearing a little kid laugh. Like, that is just priceless.
Absolutely. I can only agree. Being a father of three children, mine are 2.5, 4.5, and 6.5. I don't know how old you're.
She's almost 15 now.
She's almost 15. Okay, that's something else.
It's still every bit as awesome. It's different, but it is every bit as awesome.
Okay, and so I'm also thinking, and when I'm reflecting about the last 6.5 years, there were, of course, not only the so to say good moments.
Right?
And what were, you know, the moments that when you were kind of struggling and maybe also being exhausted? Because if I reflect on our 6.5 years now, it has been really kind of a ride.
You got three, so you're in a whole new world of challenging right there.
Exactly, but you as well, as you are traveling the world, and how do you? So, what were the struggles that you were facing, and how did you treat them?
You know, it's interesting. I grew up in a household where my father would yell a lot.
Okay.
And so on the day that my daughter was born, I was in the hospital, and they said, literally, she was just born, and they said, "Do you want to wash her off?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to." And so I looked down at this tiny little human being who's like the size of a football. And I said to her, "I will never raise my voice to you. Never. I will never yell. I will never raise my voice to you."
Mm-hmm.
And because I made that commitment that was who I was going to be, it was important to me to honor that, to really do that. And I've learned so much from that single decision. I distinctly remember she was about 3.5 years old, and it was time to brush her teeth at night. And you know how you have the little stool by the sink because they're so little, they can't reach up to the sink. And I had had a very challenging day, like business-wise, work-wise. And so I was holding a lot of frustrations inside of me. And here it is, time to brush teeth. And she's jumping up and down off the stool.
Yes. You know? I know that.
Yeah. And I felt this frustration rising inside of me. And it would have been so easy to be like, get on the stool, brush your teeth. It's time for bed, right? Which is something that I probably heard countless times when I was growing up. But because I made this commitment to never raise my voice to my child, I had to ask myself, wait, why am I feeling this anger? Why am I feeling this frustration? And what was so fascinating is that the frustration had nothing to do with her. She was actually being super cute. She was jumping up and down like a little monkey, you know? And I think so often in life, we do what I call transference. We take all the pain of the rest of our day and we direct it at the people that we love, because we know they will forgive us. And that is just such a travesty, you know? And I had this really powerful aha moments where I realized our children, the people that we love, will forgive us for all kinds of things, but maybe we need to stop demonstrating that we'd like them to prove that. Save your love for the people who love you the most. Demonstrate your love for the people who love you the most. If someone's going to make you angry and you want to vent that, well, redirect it at whoever made you angry, not the people that are just around you.
That is so super, super nice. And yeah, it's really inspiring. And if you were now someone else, and if I wasn't sitting in front of you and seeing how you were saying that, I wouldn't kind of believe you. But because, I mean, that is really striking all of us. And honestly speaking,
totally.
The situation that you were describing, I I was facing this situation quite a couple of times. And honestly speaking, I wasn't always the way you were. But I also kind of learned it. And maybe that's also a beautiful thing to let the community know. What are the tools that you use to also calm yourself down and being in this, this is so, I had a goosebump as you were saying that, being in this conscious state of mind, this is so beautiful. And it's not only important, if you're asking me within this situation, I think that is really important, for almost all situations that we're facing, right? That we kind of find the way to our soul and heart, where we have this kind of calmness, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you one of the places where I saw it demonstrated, which helped me in the moment. I was in the line at the airport, in the security line where you have to put all your stuff on the conveyor belt and it goes through the little x-ray machine. And I was about 10 people back from a mother who had 4 kids. And so she had strollers, she had backpacks, she had all the rest of this. And the security person was giving her a hard time. And I was too far back to help her, but I could see the whole thing happening. And I saw how the moment was frustrating her. And then her little daughter dropped her doll and she turned and was like yelling at the daughter. And I saw in that moment that she was taking the frustration of the moment and redirecting it at the kid. And I'll never forget that, because in that moment, I learned so much about, wait, who do you want to be as a father? Because we're going to have those moments in life.
Yes.
And without the conscious pre-thinking about how we're going to react to that, we're in all likelihood going to respond to the same way that our parents did with us. Because that's the piece of coding that is in your brain. You know, child is 3, does this, how does parent respond? That code is already inside of us. But I've found, to your question about tips.
Yes.
If we put a tiny filter between our brain and our mouth, that it is amazing how in just 5 seconds of patience that you can change the reaction. And don't worry, it's not going to negatively influence the outcome. If you still want to explode 5 seconds later, you're welcome to still have the explosion moment. But in those 5 seconds of silence, I find myself able to draw back into the heart and not just be reactive. And that, you're totally right. That applies in all walks of life. You know, you want to have a better relationship with your partner or your spouse. Ask yourself if the comment that is about to come out of your mouth is a first date comment.
Yeah.
And if you would not say it that way, if you would not say that thing on the first date, you probably shouldn't be saying it that way now if you want to have a long relationship. And that filter helps me. I just go into silence for a couple seconds and it helps me a lot.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I keep trying and, it's, I think I can speak for a lot of people and for a lot of parents around us. In my way, I used to, use my breath for it. Really, because you now could ask yourself, how can you set this filter, right?
Yeah.
For me, it helps if I really not act directly, but rather just breathe in for a second, breathe out, and then I can still react and answer as you said, right? How do you do it?
Yeah, totally. Same thing. I actually observe myself from the outside. Like I can sense what the emotions are inside of me, but it's like my brain or my unconscious mind is watching me feel the emotion. So I'm the observer to the moment as well as the participant in the moment. And in those instances, it's amazing what we learn about ourselves. So I distinctly remember another time my daughter was 2. And when they're 2, they can usually do their own car seat. You know, they can do the buckle. And we were going off on adventure days, which is one of the greatest things that, I ever invented for my daughter and I. So we can go into that in a minute. But So here we are. We're about to go off on an adventure day together. Just she and I, quality daddy-daughter time.
Yeah.
I've got the backpack full of snacks. I've got the diapers. I've got the stroller all set. And she says to me, I want to do my own clip in the car seat. And I'm standing there and I'm waiting for her to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And of course they take forever because they're only two and it takes them a while to like figure it out and clip it. And inside of me was the thought, okay, let's go. We got a whole day. Come on, let's get a, you know?
Yeah.
But I heard that thought going inside of my head and I thought to myself, well, wait, like the whole point of today is to have fun and be together. I really don't care if this takes 5 minutes. Like, it doesn't matter, you know? And in that second, I wrote new code in my brain that adventure day starts the day, the second she wakes up. And the way in which I have fun with that is entirely up to me. You know, it's not about the 5 minutes that we get on the playground. No. Like, that's all nice, but the adventure day starts the minute you wake up.
And then be in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're right. Otherwise, I'd be in the future. Exactly. I'd be thinking, what are we going to miss if we don't get to the park 5 minutes faster?
Yeah. So what I observe, it also applies to my family, being in this situation where you have, you know, these thousands of tasks that are flying around you.
Yeah.
You know, these to-do lists. And
yeah.
And then you're not only in a fast-paced economy, but rather in a fast-paced surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to kind of slow down, right?
Totally.
To be aware of what is happening around you and being in the moment, right?
Yeah.
And also develop this room for patience, don't you think? So
yeah.
What do you think about being patient as a daddy?
Best thing ever. I'll give you some of my go-to tips. These are things other people taught me and things I've learned on my own.
Amazing.
First one is that if you set expectations for children, your relationship with them will be 1,000 times better. And the perfect example is the TV is on.
Yeah.
They're watching the TV and in a few minutes, you're going to have to go do something else. And so I learned very early on, if I said, okay, boo, in 5 minutes, we have to turn the TV off because it's time to go do whatever. Okay. And she would look at me with her little face and she'd say, okay. Now, when they're that little, they really don't know what 5 minutes means. And so it doesn't really matter if you come 2 minutes later and say, okay, 5 minutes are up. We have to turn the TV off. Or if you actually wait 5 minutes, but simply setting their expectation that something is going to happen in a little bit of time, and then here's what we're doing next, is so much better than walking into the room and saying, okay, we have to go. Time to turn off the TV. Like, they sense that anxiety in your voice and your frustration, and then they absorb that, and then they become anxious. That little trick alone, so priceless, so helpful. The other one.
Yeah.
So when kids are like 2 years old, they learn the word no. And they're now going to figure out, where do I apply this word? And they're going to try and figure out where the boundaries are of the relationship. And including that word no, they're always also going to learn to raise their voice. Like, that's part of what they're figuring out. So everyone told me, oh, terrible twos. Like, they're going to be so challenging at that time. And the other great tip I got was, don't believe what everybody else tells you. Like, craft your own path as a parent. If it's good stuff they tell you, listen close. But if it's that, oh, this is just going to be a horrible, like, don't believe that.
Yeah.
So I didn't believe that concept of terrible twos. That said, my daughter turns about that age, learns the word no. And so there came a moment, I remember I walked in the house. I asked her a question. No, daddy, no. Right. And she's very loud. So what's the opposite of very loud? I got very quiet. I got down on my knees so I could look her in the eye. And I said in my softest, most calm voice possible, I said, hey, boo. I said, does daddy talk to you like that? And she thought about it for a second. She said, no. And I said, so please don't talk to me like that, okay? I had to do that 2 times. That was it. No more yelling at daddy. No more, you know. I'm not saying every moment is going to be perfect in life. But if in those moments, if we can be less reactionary and more think about, well, what if I was the little kid? Like, what would change the game for me in that moment? That's when it gets interesting.
Very nice. Yeah. Taking the kind of same perspective, right? And I like what you're saying, getting down on your knees and trying to feel and see how your children see and feel the world around them, right? This is beautiful. I really think we're gonna take something from here.
John, it actually reminds me, not to interrupt you, but it reminds me of something else.
I could never
figure out when my daughter was about 4 why she never wanted to hold my hand when we were walking, because that's like the quintessential scene in the movie, right?
Yeah, she never wanted to.
No
Okay.
But what I figured out is when you're 4 and you're like a meter tall, to walk around with your arm up in the air all day is very tiring, right? So of course they don't want to do that. When they get to be 8 or 9, they're probably going to be walking around hand in hand with you all day long. But when they're too little, it's not a comfortable thing for them to do. So sometimes the movies or other things we see paint a false picture of what comfort actually is for the child. Yeah. And so it was only until I sat on the floor with her and my wife walked by and I realized, whoa, how tall that person looks, that I realized no wonder she doesn't want to hold hands at that point, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so straightforward if you think about it, right? But you need to reflect on it, right? In order to understand that it might be as you said.
Yeah. And if we're not careful, then we let our ego get in the way and we say, oh, well, I don't know why she doesn't want to hold my hand. And like, you could let your brain spin out of control on that one, where in actuality, it's something so simple and so straightforward.
Yeah. John, another question. So if we think about, and I always do it, you know, every night, kind of reflecting on the day, what I learned about the day.
Yeah.
What I'm taking into my museum, as you are as well doing it by means of the Big Five for Life. What is it that you, if you reflect on being a child, what is it that you can take for yourself and learn from your daughter, or that you have learned so far? What are your reflections on that question?
So my daughter, like I said, is 14 going on 15.
Yeah.
And so I hear you describe the ages of your children.
Yeah.
I wish I could get 10 more years back when they were that age.
All right.
Because it is going to fly by so fast. And once it's gone, it's gone. You know, about the age of 7, you can't really pick them up anymore. They're just too darn big. And as much as it is tough sometimes, especially I would imagine with 3, where they're all wanting to be carried at the same time.
Exactly.
There is that precious moment when your little human hugs you close and puts their head against your shoulder and falls asleep, or just knows in that moment that I'm in daddy's safe hands and everything is okay. Remember that by age 7, you'll never, ever, ever get to experience that again. And so when you're tired and they say, daddy, hold me, pick them up anyway, because it's going to go away so fast. It's a precious, precious thing that we get to do as fathers. And so that's one thing that I think about all the time, is trying to be in that moment and really realizing that it's not going to last forever, and try and appreciate it. The other thing that I've learned so much from my daughter is to be present. So we took her on a trip to backpack around the world when she was 4.5.
Yeah.
And I started adventure days when she was 2.
Yeah.
When I ask her at this point, how much do you remember of that? It's very little. And so if you're always doing things because you think, oh, well, they'll have the great memory of this later, that's not going to be reality. What you have is that day, that special moment. And yeah, that's foundational. You're building a relationship with this little human being, but do it because in that moment, it's a special moment. And I can think of so many crazy, stupid, fun things. It makes me just smile. I'm sure you can see, you're looking at me so you can see the big smile on my face.
Yeah, totally.
I used to do this thing. She was like 2.5 or 3. This is when they are walking, but they don't have a lot of height yet.
Yeah.
And so our bed was pretty tall. And so I would hear her coming because we had her bed that was already out of a crib. And so I could hear her walking. And so I knew she was coming. And I used to hide under the blankets, you know, and she would reach up and grab blankets so she could pull herself up in the bed because she wasn't tall enough to get on the bed. And she would come on the bed and she would know that I was there hiding. And she used to try and find me in the blankets. And then I would just kind of like sneak out of the blankets and I'd be like, "Where are you?" And she would giggle. Oh my God. It was like, we must have done that 100 times. And I wish I had 1,000 more of those. Yeah. Crazy. And then I would get on the bed and she would climb on my back and we would do doggy races. And I would pretend that I was the dog and she was the rider. And you know, if you're going up a hill, I would raise up the hill and, oh, turn to the right. Oh, and she would almost fall off my back. Enjoy every second of those because they're going to pass by and you won't get them back again.
As you're saying it right now, especially the giggling situation, I can see your face and you're smiling at the same time, also being emotional, which is amazing. And you're touching my heart as well because now I'm reflecting on my son who's 4.5 and he has this beautiful giggling voice and if he's laughing then you know you forget everything around you. It's and what I feel and what I think what we learn from our children is in fact that of course the world out there is not only good. Obviously we see it if we want to like define it as good or bad.
There's bad.
Yeah, there's bad. There's, of course it is. But value these so special moments of life and embrace them, right? It's so good. Thank you for that moment because it's beautiful to share it.
You're welcome. When I wrote the third book in the Cafe series, I talked about the struggles of getting older.
Yeah.
And there's this incredible dialogue between Max and the character and John. Mm-hmm. And when I was writing it, it was so profound when it hit me. And Max asks John, "Tell me something you love." And he says, "I like going to the movies." And he says, "Well, how old are you?" You know, 50. And he calculates the quick math and he says, "Well, you'll get to go and see about 200 more movies in your lifetime." Right?
Yeah.
And he says, "Tell me something else you love." And he says, "Christmas." And he says, "Well, you're 52. You got about 26 Christmases left." And when you think about it in the context of your kids, like how many more Christmases are you going to get before they're old enough that it doesn't have the same magic? And when you think of in your entire lifetime, your span of the human experience, you're only going to get 6 more Christmases when that little boy is so excited. It just changes everything. You know, it changes the way you look at it.
Yeah. Touching me again. it's so nice. It's so beautiful.
I thought another fun thing I used to do with my daughter, by the way. Another like cool trick. So parents often struggle with how do you get your kids to eat healthy?
Yeah.
And so I used to do this game. Okay. So I would get like blueberries, for example, right? Okay. And these are very healthy, full of good antioxidants. And so I would hold a handful of blueberries. And the first thing I'd do, I'd be like, "Whoa, boo, look at the size of this blueberry. This one is massive. I'm definitely going to eat this one." And then I would be like, "So I don't know. I'm just going to hold these in my hand. I hope a squirrel or something doesn't come along and eat it from my hand." And of course, when you're a little kid, that's like game on, right?
Yeah.
And so I would feel her little hand, grab it out of my hand. And I'd turn and be like, "Well, where'd my blueberry go?" Right? And she would giggle and she'd be eating it. So then I grab another 4 or 5 big blueberries. I'd be like, "Well, these are even bigger. I'm definitely going to eat these, but I hope a little squirrel doesn't come along. Like, if you play games yes. with kids, you can not only do you create ridiculously fun, stupid memories, but they laugh, you laugh, and you can help bring about these positive lifestyle choices of like eating healthy. Because the trick is to get them to eat a blueberry the first time. They'll discover that it's delicious and they'll want to eat more of those. And if you make it a game, they'll want to eat even more of it.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful game theory, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
No, it and it
like
is
like psychology.
It, yeah, psychology. You're right. Thank you for that hack as well. I'm gonna take it with me. Although we are all, already applying a lot of these game playing things that you can apply and listen to your heart, right?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you another one. Bedtime. Bedtime is like one of the most challenging times for everybody.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, we kind of always struggle. And it's, how do you do it?
It's I think it's a lot tougher with three, 100%. I know for sure than with one. But I think that traditions around bedtime are one of the easiest ways to get buy-in that it's bedtime, first of all. And it's also one of the things that can create the most beautiful memories for you and your kids. And so when my daughter was little, and I'm thinking maybe 1.5-ish little, we started to read together at night. And as you can imagine, like at 1.5, they can't read. And so there you are with their book, but you know, you let them pick the book and you're sitting in bed with them. And I always had these special reading shorts and a special t-shirt. So that was part of the tradition.
Okay.
And we would sit together and we would read together. And of course they're just kind of cuddling up with you. Right. And then have a special thing that you do at night. And so for my daughter, it was 5 kisses and 7 hugs. Mm-hmm. And this is another one of why it's so great to be in the moment. So 5 kisses and 7 hugs. And this went on for years. And it was always, Daddy, can I have 5 kisses and 7 hugs? And then I'll go to bed. And then I don't know when the day came, but there came a day that it was the last day for 5 kisses and 7 hugs. I would give $50,000, $100,000 to have one more year of 5 kisses and 7 hugs, you know, because it's just such a great, precious moment of dad and kid. So that nighttime, like, create special moments. And for her, I'm just laughing when I think of it. We did the craziest stuff. So we had this game that we would play where we would play spot grab on the bed. And your job as dad is to pull them off of the spot. And, you know, they're little, so they grab on with their fingers onto the bed sheets and they will hang on with all their might. And your job is to remove them from the spot. And you can tickle them. You can, like, you know, you can make stuff up, whatever, but your job is to remove them from the spot. Oh my God. We laughed so hard playing that game. And then they get to the point, they're like 7 years old. They're so strong, you can't actually remove them from the spot anymore. And then you got to come up with a new game. So we came up with Sock Wars, where we had 20 rolled up socks and she would hide on one side of the bed and I would hide on the other and you would throw the socks at each other. Like, so I guess my point is, like, let that be fun and let it create beautiful, special moments. Cause they're going to, you know, she's 14. We don't do that anymore. You're going to lose that at some point. So create special fun moments as you go. Spot grab was so much fun. That was crazy.
It's so beautiful to see you laughing the way you are laughing. And it's a special moment. I could imagine talking with you like for hours. But we have this time boundaries that we're facing, and but I still have one last question that might be also a deep question that I want to end with. My question to you, John, is, so if this was your last day in life, what would you say to your daughter right away, now, as you were reflecting a lot on the life as being a daddy. And we had a lot of laughing and at the same time being emotional and touched within our heart within this interview. What would you say? And at the same time, what would you, the second question, what would you recommend to all the parents listening right now that might be stressed out again?
Yeah. So let me answer the second question first.
Cool.
Which is part of the reason that you do all of these fun things that we've been talking about when the kids are little is because you're building a relationship. And if you ask yourself, what is my real role here? Mm. What am I really supposed to be doing? Ideally, I think as parents, what we're supposed to be doing is preparing our children for the day that we're gone. And if that day comes sooner than expected, that we want them, we want to know that they'll be okay, that they'll be prepared for life, that they'll be safe. And so if we're demonstrating the importance of living our big five for life, of having fun, if we're demonstrating that life doesn't have to always be stressful or that we can manage the stressful moments, if we're demonstrating that it's okay to not be someone who yells all the time, then we're giving them the foundational elements for when they're the adult, when they're the parents. And that to me is our goal. It's supposed to be to prepare them for the next phase.
Yeah.
It's also to love on them. Like, you know, let them know that you're so happy that they picked you to be their dad or their mom. I mean, they could have picked anybody, but they picked you. And I never go a day without thinking to myself, wow, like she picked me to be her dad. Like that is such a gift. I'm so honored that I get to be that. So having that perspective, I think makes the stressful moments go away. Like we invited them into the world.
True.
Right. I mean, it would have been easy to not have them.
No, yeah, true.
But we said at some point, I want to be a father. I want to be a mother. We made the conscious decision. We invited them into the world. And then I think energetically they do. I think they pick us as to be the parent.
Yes, I do see it the same way. Yep.
Okay. So then, okay, we invited them. They picked us. Why would I ever treat them worse than I treat my best friend or some random coworker at work? I should be treating them at least as good as that and hopefully a lot better. And we do all of these things when they're young to prepare them. But I will tell you now that my daughter is 14, 15, that all of these silly, fun moments when she knew that I was there for her, trust me, when they're 14, they want to talk to you about big stuff. And you'll have either established a relationship of trust where they know that you care or you won't. And we talk about everything at this phase, all those such important topics of life, things that I never talked to my own parents about. Still to this day, I've never talked to my parents about. And so for everybody who's listening, who's got little ones, trust me, you invest the time and energy now. Not only will it have fun that, and at this point that you're investing it, but there will be a big payoff when they're older, you know? And that means when they walk into your room, in your office, and you're working from home, swivel the chair and give them your undivided attention. You know, it's okay. Whatever's on the desktop or the laptop, it's going to, it'll still be there 30 seconds later. And I caught myself not doing this a couple of times. And I was like, what am I thinking? Like, I want her to know that she's the most important thing for me, you know? So to answer your first question, when she was probably 2 weeks old, I was realizing like, oh my gosh, like even at 2 weeks, they're changing so much. And I wanted to remember that. So I started a journal. And every week, every 2 weeks when they're really little, I would just write a few sentences or a paragraph about what they were doing, what she was learning to do. And I still do it. It happens less frequently when they're older because the changes are a little less dramatic. But I am so, so happy I did this because you think you're going to remember. Trust me.
No.
You won't remember. You won't remember the TV shows that you watched with them. You won't remember the things they did that made you laugh. But if you write it down, when you go back to read it, every time I read it, I cry. Like, I'm just so happy because there's always another email to answer. There's always another, but if you take the time and do this, you will be so, so happy. And what I discovered is that this has ended up becoming a love letter to my daughter. Almost every one of them, I'm getting emotional talking about it. Almost every one of these, I end saying, I'm so happy I got to be your dad. I love you so much. Thank you for choosing me to be your dad. And if today was my last day on the planet and it was the last sentence that I could say to her, that's exactly what I would say. Thank you so much for letting me be your dad.
Oh, thank you so much, John. It's again touching me, and at the same time, it's reminding me of my daily practice that I'm doing. Try to do every night. If I'm not doing it every night, I would do it the next morning, reflecting on three questions. So, what is my hard moment of the day? What is the thing I'm thankful for? And what is the learning of my day?
Yeah.
Yeah, within my little journey that I'm now taking for a couple of years, it's always nice to reflect at the end of the year. It's not surprising that a lot of these days are ending being thankful for my children. I have it written on my t-shirt today. You can always choose to be kind in this world.
Yeah.
And why don't we choose to be kind and caring for the ones that we love instead of, you know, the things that we are doing when we are not conscious, right? Sometimes.
Yeah.
It was such an honor, and I'm so pleased, and I want to thank you a thousand times for being able to sit with you in this tour bus. I really appreciate it because I know that you are busy, and you have been in interviews with other really famous and important people. I'm just a Düsseldorf guy, but I love to be with you on your on our Working Dead podcast. So thanks a thousand times.
Thank you so much. And you know what? I think all of us that are out there doing our very best to raise our kids in a conscious way, it's a community.
Yeah.
And so we're all in this together.
Exactly. Beautiful. Okay, wishing you all the best for your tour and for your life. And I don't know, but again, I have the feeling, the same as a couple of years ago, we'll meet again.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to it. And thanks for doing all that you do.
Okay. Thanks, John. Thanks, John.